Hello again, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to this recording and to our study today. We're going back into our study of judgment and judging. This is the third study of the letter J in our ABCs of Christian Growth study that we're doing. And we're going back into something called divine judgment. Divine judgment, meaning that it can only be the kind of judgment that a deity, or not a deity, the deity, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, the only kind of judgment that that can be made in such manner, divine judgment. Now, we have been over several topics concerning that, and the last one that we ended with, we didn't finish, and that was something called the manner of it, the manner of divine judgment. In other words, how something is done, or how it happens, the fashion of it, the way it happens, divine judgment. How does it happen? Well, we begin by saying it's according to which judgment one appears before, which is very important, because depending on where you're at in the scriptures and what you're talking about and what the context is, it could mean anything of seven different judgments. We talked about that last time, how many different judgments there was, and I've done a little research and looked through the study, and it is indeed included in this study toward the end of it about the seven judgments and what they are and the descriptions of them and why and who the judgments are for, and we'll go over that soon. Hopefully you'll stay with the study and follow it all the way through. I know this is a lengthy study, but it's for clarity. And that's what we want from the Word of God, is clarity about what God's mind is concerning things. And this thing that we're talking about is judgment and judging. It's something that's, I don't really think it's all that important to people nowadays. I think it's more of a selfish thing that's going on in society today, is that you can't judge me and all this sort of thing, and what people are always saying and ready to say at any given instant, you know. And I mean, you look at them cross-eyed and they think you're judging them, you know. You might just be cross-eyed, you know. But anyway, in society today, this is one of the most misappropriated and misunderstood thing, and for purposeful reason. They don't want to understand what real judgment is like, because real judgment is turned back in their face. And when we get through this study, you're going to find that out. Talking about, the Lord says, judge not that ye be not judged. And what they're talking about is don't never judge at all. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. What the Lord's talking about is you better judge, and you're going to. And when we get through it, you'll see that. You better judge, and you better make good judgments, because you are being judged by your own judgment also, and what's coming out of your heart. And that's something that the world doesn't apply whenever they're talking about judgment, is from the heart. Judgment from the heart. Righteous judgment. And that's what we're talking about today. Divine judgment. We said that it's according to which judgment one appears before the Lord. Well, another portion of divine judgment and the manner of it is it's according to God's righteousness, just like what we said. This is the second a definition, if you will, of the manner of divine judgment. It's according to God's righteousness. It's not according to any righteousness that we have or that the world has or thinks it has. The world thinks that divine, that good, that righteousness is all the good things they do, in spite of all the bad things that they do. That's not righteousness like what God's righteousness is. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. There's a difference in that. It's not that God won't lie, which he won't, or that he doesn't lie, which he doesn't. It's that he cannot lie. Big difference there. God is not capable of lying. He will not lie, absolutely not. He does not lie, absolutely not, but it says God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He's righteous. He's righteous altogether, the scripture says. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." There's a commandment from Peter that gives us permission to follow our Lord's steps. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He never deceived anybody or missed. The Lord never said anything with deceiving intentions. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously." He trusted his heavenly Father. He trusted God that always judges righteously, that saw what he was going through, that things were going to turn out the way that his Father wanted and that they were going to be righteous. "Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being," now listen to this, "that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness." Now what are we talking about? We're talking about why Christ died, why he suffered. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree." Why? "That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." So what's it saying there? Well, we're talking about the manner of divine judgment. Divine judgment. Well, it's righteous. It's not like our judgment, which being dead to sins, the only reason that we can make right judgments and for the right reasons and as the Lord's judgments are is because of what Christ has done, and that God the Holy Ghost indwells us and gives us the ability to do that and gives us the want to do it, because we don't want to judge righteously. That's the world's problem. That's our problem, is that before we met Christ, we didn't measure or weigh out judgment like we should have, or as God would, because God weighs out judgment and judging in a righteous manner always, you see. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge," capital J, that's a title of God, "the judge of all the earth do right?" You see, the scripture's telling us right there that any kind of decisions or judgments that the Lord makes are righteous. They are absolutely right all the time. All the time. Even when he changes his mind. God changes his mind. That doesn't mean he made a mistake. That means he changed his mind. Many times, I mean, if the Lord didn't change his mind, there wouldn't be a human being existing today. The Lord said he'd wipe out the entire human existence and start over. But he didn't do it that way. He changed his mind. He said that he repented. That doesn't mean he was sorry for what he'd done. That means he changed his mind and his judgment. That didn't mean his judgment was wrong. It meant he decided to judge another manner that was for somebody else's sake. It wasn't because he was wrong. God's never wrong in his judgment. He is righteous. He's righteous. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 8, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." In uprightness. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 6, "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah. Psalm chapter 96 verse 13, listen to this. "Behold the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." Nowhere in there have you seen anything except righteousness when it comes to judgment and judging having to do with divine righteousness with the Lord. The Lord judges absolutely correct, absolutely all the time. All the time. That's wonderful about our Lord. Don't you know that? Aren't you glad the Lord makes the right judgments about us? Even in our correction, even in anything that has to do with us, our growing, our learning, as like, for instance, right now, the Lord's judgment in teaching us what he teaches us and giving us revelation as he chooses to show us what's in the scriptures. The Lord told the disciples, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see and the ears that hear what you hear." He said, there's many a people in the Old Testament that wanted to see and to hear what you hear, but didn't get to. And we do. We live by the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God. That's seeing and hearing spiritual things. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? What else? Well, Revelation chapter 19. Oh, excuse me, not Revelation chapter... Yes. Hang on just a minute. Let me find my marble. Yeah. Here we go. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And make war. Okay, so we see that according to the scripture, divine judgment is according to righteousness. Divine righteousness. Righteousness that does not fail. That does not fail. That's not like human judgment. We do not make righteous judgments and divine judgments. We do not make right judgments continually and without fail. God does. God does. Okay, what else? Well, it's according to God's word. It's according to God's word. What is according to God's word? Well, the manner of it, the manner of divine judgment. It's according to God's word. You know, there's going to be a lot of people. Well, there's already a lot of people. A lot of people that have failed the Word of God, that is, have abandoned and left God's Word, and they don't make right judgments even in their service or in their life in the world or in the body. They don't make right judgments because they don't make judgments according to God's word. The Bible says the manner of divine judgment, even God himself, goes by his own word. Goes by his own word. And everywhere in the scriptures, the Lord tells us, you say, well, what's... I had a preacher one time. I was sitting in a service, and this is during the uprising of the King James Version only, and blah, 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 and all this mess that went on that the devil brought into the body of Christ. And a preacher decided, told the church, I guess this thing got on him, and the devil brought it into this church that I was attending there. And he says, well, when I get back, he said, I'm leaving on vacation for a little bit. And he said, when I get back, we're going to decide once and for all about this King James matter. And when he got back, he got in the pulpit and he says, well, we've made the decision, and we're going to stick with the King James. Well, I said, I didn't say it to mock anybody or anything like that. I just said, amen. And he immediately, immediately, he looked dead at me. I was about the fourth row in the middle right in front of his pulpit. He looked right dead at me, and with, I don't know, a mean-spirited and I don't know what you call it, but it embarrassed me, and it not because of what I believe and what I said, but because that he picked me out to make sure everybody seen him staring at me. But he stared at me, and his eyes swelled up real big, and he just focused in on me, and he says, "But we're not going to make a big deal out of it." Well, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that God's Word is the big deal. The Lord said, by your words that you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Even your words are being taken down. But when it comes to divine words and divine, the Lord says that the manner of divine judgment is by his, God's word. And if God's going to judge everybody and that's faithful and true and in righteousness, he's going to judge. He does judge and make war, and turns out right all the time. His word has to be right all the time. God didn't bring all this confusion about his word. God's not the author of confusion. Man's the one that confused everything having to do with God's word. That's why I recommend to you that you stay with your King James Bible, and that you read it only, and that you read it and you believe it, and you believe God's word, because that is God's word. It is not only the word, but the very words that are in that book are God's words, and they're pure and they're righteous altogether. And I've never had any problem whatsoever. I went through that. I laid them books down on the floor and I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. This is confusing me. And I know that you're not a God of confusion, but I'm confused anyway. I need to know what your word is, and he showed it to me. I need to know. And when you're sincere and you want to know what God's word is, and that's all you have to do is just ask the Lord, show me what your word is so I can just have my mind made up and there'll be no more confusion. It's God's will that you not be confused. But if you really, really want to know what God's word is, just ask him and he'll show it to you. But once he shows it to you, make a decision, make it your decision, and stick to it. Don't think of anything else or anybody else or consider anything else or anybody else. Stick with God's word, because that is what God does. God sticks with his own word. Divine judgment comes in the manner of, or is the manner of it, or how his judgment is done, or how it happens in the fashion of it, or the way of it, is done according to his word. According to his word. He sent the prophets. The prophets revealed his word, and his word came to pass. He sent the judges. The judges judged, and they judged with God's word. It's according to God's word. The manner of divine judgment is according to God's word. When you stand before whatever judgment you're going to stand before, and I don't say that because all of you out there listening to this and studying along with us should know that you're born again and be trusting in God's word. If God's word is good enough that you're going to be trusting him to keep you out of the lake of fire, then you ought to be trusting him in your daily walk and his word in your daily walk. And you shouldn't be committing adultery with some other form of God's word, or the additions of it or the subtractions of it. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust mankind, period, fooling around with God's word. Well, the King James was this and that and the other. You hadn't studied very much if you say the King James has been this and that and the other. I'm not a very smart man and don't claim to be, but I have been educated by people that the Lord himself chose out for me. I wanted to go to Bible college over and over and over and over, but the Lord refused it and rejected it and didn't let me go to Bible college. He field taught me. And he picked out my teachers to teach me what I need to know. And right now, probably there's been four or five, most of them gone to be with the Lord now, that taught me his word and kept me with his word and did not lead me off into some stinking goose chase to where you can't figure out what God's word is, or take my trust and belief and strength and strip me of everything that these colleges and all these other so-called professors and everything else are stripping people of their faith in God's words. God's words are divine. They are pure. They are righteous altogether. And God's judgment is made in the manner of his own word. God makes his decisions and his judgments, which are always right and righteous, by his always right and righteous word. You getting this? You should be, because I know most of you probably already believe this. And just like the Lord said, or I mentioned a while ago, the Lord said, blessed are ye that see the things that ye see and hear the things that ye hear. And you being part of the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, you ought to be able to tell what's going on with God's words. And you ought not let the enemy try to talk you. I don't know why I'm getting over into this part of it, because we're talking about God's words, which are very, very important. It is the big deal. When anybody, the lost, the saved, anybody stands before God, God's words are going to be brought up. Yeah. Your works in the body are going to be according to what you did in the body, according to God's words. How do you know anything is right and wrong and the polarities of anything without a final authority? You cannot. That's why the world is so stuck on this relativity and stuck on this, well, everything's the same. Let's just all get together. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's in, nobody's out, nobody's up, nobody's down, nobody's black, nobody's white, and all that sort of nonsense. Polarities. God's word is righteous altogether. And talking about the manner of it and the way of divine judgment is not only according to which judgment one appears before, but according to God's righteousness. And not only according to God's righteousness, but according to God's words. Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles. Hang on a minute. Not 2 Chronicles, that's coming up next. John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear," watch it, "if any man hear my words and believeth not," and believe not, "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." At this time that he's speaking, he is coming to judge the world, by the way, but not this particular time that he's speaking. "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me," watch it, "and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him." What is that? "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, which I should say, and what I should speak." What do you say and what do you speak? Words. "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." God's words. The manner of it, the manner of divine judgment, is according to God's words. Jesus just said that. He said, the word. He said, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." What's going to judge him? What's the one? "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." According to God's word. Divine judgment is according to God's word. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy." God's words. They mocked God's messengers. How? By despising God's words. What else? Proverbs chapter 13:13. "Whoso despiseth the word," singular, "shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." The word. That's Paul in the book of Romans. Divine judgment. It's not only according to God's righteousness, and not only according to the judgment one appears before, but it's according to God's words. And that's not all. Divine judgment is also the manner of it, and how it's done is openly. It's not hidden a corner. It's not done privately. It's not done to where it's done openly. Listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. And I read that to you just a minute. I'm going to read it again, though. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Them judgments that we read a while ago, some of them that were different, that people are going to stand before different in different realms and different judgments and different reasons, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. The secrets of men. Things are going to be open and outright and out front, according to which judgment you stand before. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the things you did in the body are going to be open. We're all going to have our tails tucked between our legs, ain't we? And the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, they're going to be judged openly and with God's words. The manner of it, the manner of what? Divine judgment is going to be openly. Listen to what Ecclesiastes says in chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, according to which judgment you stand before is what God's going to bring up. The Lord's not going to bring our sin up, because there is no sin at the judgment that we stand before. Jesus Christ's righteousness is upon us, and we shall be changed. As soon as the Lord comes and catches us out of here, we're changed. Our bodies are changed, everything is changed, and we are like Him. You're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in condemnation. So it's going to be a complete, it's going to be a completely different thing having to do with secret things, whether it be good or evil. But now you stand before the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, completely different scenario there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16 to 17 says, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. You see, Solomon looked around and he was seeing this judgment going on. And he was saying, man, in the place of judgment, there's wickedness. In the place of judgment, that shouldn't be. Then he looked at the place of righteousness, and he seen iniquity there. He said, that shouldn't be. He said, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. It's going to be openly. The skeletons in the closet. The closet's going to be torn open, all the walls taken out of it, where everything's going to be exposed. Man's not going to be able to hide anything from the Lord. Divine judgment is open, is openly. The Lord is righteous, and His judgment is righteous. And what else? Divine judgment. We're talking about the manner of it. The manner of it. Well, it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only according to His word, according to God's word. It's not only openly, but it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has put all things in the Lord Jesus Christ's hand and all judgment in His hand. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So if you don't like Jesus Christ and you hate Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before him in judgment. That doesn't frighten you. Why not? It's going to be a whole different thing standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God in the flesh. And it says the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. What's the manner of divine judgment coming from a divine being, Jesus Christ? Holy and righteous altogether. Well, the judgment, divine judgment, the manner of it's going to be by the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, listen to this. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." The judge standeth before the door. The only thing the Lord's waiting on to come and get us is for the Father to say, "Go get your bride, son. Go get your bride." And he will. He's coming to get us. And it's not far off. It's not far off. We ought to be able to tell. Can't you tell? We ought to be able to tell. Psalm chapter 50. Let me read that to you in verse 1 through 6. "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me." Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." It don't get any plainer than that. It says the heavens, not only the people and the ones that are being judged are going to confess that God's judgment is righteous. It said every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. People say, "I ain't never going to say God's right or Jesus is right." Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness," not ours, his righteousness, "for God is judge himself." The Lord Jesus Christ. The manner of divine judgment is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And one other. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about divine judgment in our study of judgment and judging. Judgment and judging. And we are talking about the manner of it. Manner of what? Divine judging. Divine judging, excuse me, and the fashion of it, and the way that it is done. How's it done? Well, it's according to which judgment one appears before the Lord. It's according to God's righteousness. It's according to God's word. It's going to be open. It's done openly, divine judgment. God doesn't hide in a corner. He said this wasn't done in a corner to where it was being hidden from sight. God's judgment's righteous and it's going to be open. There's going to be all kinds of people that are going to witness this matter. God likes people witnessing his judgment because it shows and reveals his righteousness. It said that the Queen of Sheba and all these other people, even a human being like Solomon, that God give judgment to more wisdom, the ability to be able to tell the difference between good and evil, and the things that he was speaking with his mouth that God had given him, to be able to show the judgment and show righteousness, just a human being, people were coming from around the world to come in here because it was open and everybody was saying, wow, do you hear this? Even Jesus, when he was a boy at 12 years old, when his mom and dad didn't realize he had stayed behind one time when they were traveling to Jerusalem, and then they left to go back home, and Jesus stayed behind, and they found him in the temple, and they're discussing the law and the commandments. And then people were, they were amazed and said, where did this boy get such knowledge and judgment? He's God. That's how. Not only openly, but by the Lord Jesus Christ and divine judgment, the manner of it is going to be in a final way. Divine judgment. Now, we talked about God changing his mind, and he does, and repenting, and he does. But he only does those things according to his righteousness, and according to his word, and according to his divine judgment. In a final way, there are some things that God has spoken that he's never going to change. That he has committed his word to. And divine judgment is in a final way. Listen to what we're talking about. In the scriptures in Joel chapter 3 and verse 12 through 14, it says, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions. What's that talking about? That's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the battle of Armageddon, where the Lord judges, and in the way that he judges is making war. He's not coming to talk about or negotiate anything this time. He's coming to smash the enemy, to annihilate the enemy. Enemy of what? Enemy of his righteousness. Enemies of his son. Enemies of his word. Enemies of his divinity, his divine nature. Enemies against his divine judgment. You want to play around with God? Go ahead. You can do that right now. But there's going to come a day, according to Joel, what we just read right there, that there's going to be decisions. The multitude, that's what this is called. It's called the Valley of Decision. You don't get to make your mind up anymore or this, that, and the other. The decision has been made. You're going to be judged this way. The Valley of Decision. Joel. What else? Well, divine judgment is in a final way. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 also. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You notice those two words? What two words? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What other word? But the righteous into life eternal. The valley of decision. The decision has been made. It's a final decision. It's done. It's not negotiable. We're not making concessions about anything. It's not changeable. The Lord declared it. He said it's going to happen. Gave you a chance. Gave you more than one chance. Many, many chances. You denied the Lord, you denied his word, you denied his son. The decision is made. And you know where that decision is right now? And when it comes to a final decision, right now in the dispensation as we speak, what the final decision is right now? As we speak right now, the final decision is death. When death happens to you, the decision has been made. It's final. If you die in your sins, you will go to hell. And you will go into the lake of fire eventually. And you will be judged at the white throne judgment by a righteous judge that will sentence you. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will go immediately to be with the Lord because of what Jesus has done, His righteousness, His blood, His sacrifice, and His righteousness has been placed upon you. Isn't that wonderful? Final way. Divine judgment is in a final way. You see, that's what the world's trying to forget, is how the finality of God, how things are the words that the Lord chooses. There's no other books that use the words that God's book uses. Eternal, everlasting, forever and ever and ever. There's no other books that speak in a factual way or a historical way or things like that that use these words that God uses, that the Holy Ghost had written down for us. It's in a final way. Divine judgment, the manner of it, is in a final way. Right now, people can change their mind and believe what the Lord says for them to believe. But the Bible says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not the words that the Lord... I got that boogered up. He that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not the words that I have spoken unto you. I probably boogered that up, but that's what it says. That it's believing or not believing. It's in a final way. And the Lord has given us plenty of warning. Warn them. Tell them. Tell them to take heed, to pay attention, to hear. Let these words sink down in, that you can hear. Blessed are ye that hear these things. Blessed are ye that see the things that you see. And you see them, don't you? You hear them. What else? Well, Revelation chapter 14:11, it's in a final way. Divine judgment, the manner of it's in a final way. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14:11, and the smoke of their torment. What other book do you know that talks about that, like that? And the smoke of their torment, not their bodies burning up, the smoke of their torment. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. What else? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, a final way, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And finally, with our study today, we're talking about divine judgment. And this winds up this portion of judgment and judging in the category of divine judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. So, what have we been talking about today? We've been talking about divine judgment and facts that have to do with divine judgment. And what facts are we talking about? Well, divine judgment must be from a divine being. Remember that? We talked about the design and the intent and the purpose of divine judgment. We talked about the causes of divine judgment. Remember that? We talked about the kinds of divine judgment, physical destruction and material loss and all these things. Spiritual blindness we talked about, and eternal destruction we talked about as far as having to do with divine judgment. We talked about how to avoid it, how to avoid divine judgment, turning from sin and humbling oneself. We also talked today and finished up the category of the manner of divine judgment, how it's carried out, how it happens, the fashion of it and the way of it. It's according to the judgment one appears before the Lord. You can find that out. You can get in the scriptures and find out where you're going to stand before the Lord. It's not in no general judgment where everybody stands all at once before the Lord and your good and your bad's weighed out. That's not what the Bible teaches. According to God's righteousness, we talked about when we began today. According to God's word, divine judgment. That's the manner it's going to be carried out, is according to His word. According to God's word and the manner of it is openly. It's open. It's not hidden. It's not in a corner. It's not going to be in a private session. The Bible says, and I saw a sea or multitudes and multitudes and millions and millions and millions of millions. So it's amazing how the Lord says what He said, thousands and thousands of thousands stand before the Lord openly. It's going to be by the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment, divine judgment, because He is divine. He is God in the flesh. And it's going to be in a final way. It's going to be in a final way. Amen. All right, divine judgment, divine judgment. And talking about just going all the way back to it and just bringing this thing back to the beginning, we're talking about judgment and judging. Now, anybody else that would have thought about a study on judgment and judging should have thought that it's only a page worth. Well, the Lord says for you to do this and do this, and a Christian ought to be this way and ought to be this way, having to do with judgment and judging. But that's not all the scriptures talk about concerning judgment and judging, is it? You see why we're going through this and the way that we're going through this? Knowing the way that the Lord judges and the manner of it and how to avoid it and all these things are going to have a bearing on why we believe what we believe when we get into the New Testament and we get into the human part of judging and how humans judge and how Christians ought to judge when it comes to this thing of judgment and judging. You see how it's going to come together? You have to rightly divide the Word of God. You have to get everything from every place and put it together. No man's going to control God's Word. That's a supernatural book. You can pick out anything you want to pick out in the Word of God and make it say anything you want it to say, but that don't make it true. The Lord said that nobody is going to see and hear what He has in His eternal Word. The way He put that book together, man, that thing will drive you nuts if you're not in it for the right reasons. And it'll cause you to go to changing it and adding to it and taking away from it because it don't make sense to you. But if you're going at it with sincere reasons and with a right heart, the Lord sees that and He'll give you revelation and He'll show you things. Yeah, that's right. And that's why we're studying. It's because we love the Lord and we want to know what He says, isn't it? Yes, it is. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, and I'll tell you what we're going to go into on our next study. We will leave divine judgment, and we'll go into something else that the Scriptures talk about. Let me give you the Scriptures for today if you're ready to take them down. We had just a few today, but good Scripture, and truth that we can... That we can believe and go by. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. Psalm chapter 9, verse 8. Psalm chapter 50, verse 6. This is where I got all messed up a while ago when I sound like I didn't know what I was talking about, which is a lot of times, but anyway. Psalm chapter 50, verse 6, we got that C there. Psalm chapter 96, verse 13, that's what that came after that. And then Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And then John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16. And then we had Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Watch out for them 13s. Notice that's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Watch out for them 13s. It says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but whoso feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 5, verse 22. James chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And then we had Psalm chapter 50, verse 1 through 6. And Joel chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And Matthew chapter 25. Verse 46, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And then the last one for today's study is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. We've been talking about divine judgment in our study of judgment and judging. You're going to be tired of that word, or either excited or at peace about that word as many times as we've been talking about it, judgment. Judgment and judging. By the time we're finished with this, which it'll be a blessing to you because we'll understand what God's Word says and we'll be able to live at peace about judgment and judging, and you'll know where to feel guilty about judging and judgment and where guilt lies and all those sorts of things, and we'll get into that. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is having to do with human judgment. Not divine judgment, but human judgment. Not Christian judgment or the judgment that somebody that knows Christ ought to make, but just regular old human judgment, man's judgment. What's it all about? We'll get closer. We're getting closer. Okay? So we'll stop here, and I'll talk to you on the next one. We'll talk about human, man's judgment. Okay? It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in, and thank you for studying God's Word. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.